So we talked to Professor Eduardo Miranda in Plymouth, South England. We just heard an excerpt of your music piece Grain Streams for piano and electronics, generated with the aid of a computer program which used an artificial intelligence model called Cellular Automata. Maybe you can explain how this program works with artificial intelligence.
Okay, so a cellular automata is a model, is an artificial intelligence model that simulates the behavior of simple living beings. Yes, it has a set of rules that specify conditions for these living beings to be born, to survive, and to die. Uh-huh. And so it simulates a dynamical sort of biological behavior. And I am not so concerned about what the simulation is about. What I find interesting in this model is that it produces patterns of data. And these patterns of data, each time they are produced, there are little variations in these patterns. And I find this very musical, because one of the most well-known techniques for composing music is exactly to have a theme and a variation on that theme. Mm-hmm. And by means of this model, I can generate this automatically. Because the rules are very simple, I find it very compelling, very interesting to work with this kind of artificial intelligence modeling for composing music.
Mm-hmm. So it must be very simple rules?
They are very simple rules. There are only four rules. If you imagine a visual representation of a cellular automata, imagine that you have a grid of cells. Okay, it can be 1,000 by 1,000 cells. It can be very large. And each of the cells can have a number. Okay, in my case, in this simulation for this composition, I just have the number 0 or 1. So 0 means that the cell is dead, and 1 means that the cell is alive. Then there is a set of rules that look at all the cells at the same time and look at the neighbors. For example, if there are, let's say, 3 neighbors that are alive and 5 neighbors that are not alive, then that cell next time, it may become alive. Or another rule could say, well, these cells, if it has less than 2 neighbors that are alive, then next time it dies. And so on. These rules can be changed. Mm-hmm. But what is important is that by applying these very simple rules in parallel to all the cells at the same time, you produce patterns, visual patterns of cells that are alive, that are painted black because they value 1. And then you can see this pattern, an animation on the computer screen, which goes on and goes on for, producing these very interesting figures. And so I invented a method that instead of visualizing the behavior of these algorithms, I invented a way to translate this representation into musical notes. So as the algorithms are applied to this automata, I produce patterns of sequences, little sequences of musical notes. And this is what you could hear in the Grain Streams piece, like do 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 do. So these sequences go on and go on and go on, all produced by this algorithm.
So for many years you're composing at this point of intersection between human brain, machines and artificial intelligence.
That's right, yes. I forgot to mention that was a very good observation. The cellular automata, the patterns that some of these rules produce, some scientists use them as simulation of how information travels in the brain. So you could consider that the cells of this cellular automata could be representing neurons on a network, and then the information, how these neurons interact with one another, can be simulated by this kind of algorithms. So that's another layer, another level that I find it so interesting to work with these kind of computer programs.
Yeah. Can you tell something of your daily problems in between composing with human brains, machines, and this artificial intelligence?
Yes and no. I think Although I have a scientific background, and I work with my students with these models to do real simulation of real things, but in my music, I take a more artistic approach. I'm more interested in the, you know, the artistic value, the aesthetic value. And sometimes, of course, I don't follow everything that the algorithm or the computer generates. Because I am a human composer, I take this, you know, this musical data, so to speak, and then I sometimes edit them. I make them to sound, you know, the way I find musical. So there are two levels of working. One, which is I use the computer to produce materials for me, and it produces lots of materials. But then when I compose these materials, then my aesthetic judgment will, you know, will tell me what to choose, how to organize these materials in time and so on.
So Die Mensch-Maschine, Man-Machine, was a concrete fiction in Kraftwerk times.
I remember that, yeah.
But that's more than 30 years ago. What is reality today and what will be in the future?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. At the time of Kraftwerk, the machines were not so interactive, I would say. They were working with fantastic analog synthesizers. They could program the synthesizers to produce fantastic sounds, and it sounded quite nice at the time. But today, what we have today are machines that are, they have a little bit more of intelligence. They can react to the actions of a performer. Or as a composer, for example, I can ask the machine to produce things that perhaps I would not have made myself. So the machines can produce ideas that I would not have had them myself if I did not use the machine, if you see what I mean. Mm. Now, the future, it's very difficult to say what's going to happen, but I think that machines are becoming more and more interactive. More computer scientists are developing methods to program these machines with intelligence, with power of making decisions. And I'm not very sure whether machines will be able to make aesthetic decisions. But some more technical, some more sort of objective decisions where you have rules, you have musical rules, or you have constraints that you want to impose in a piece of music. So these kind of things, machines will become better and better and better. And I think this interaction between human and machine, I think it's going to develop in a way in which I believe that humans will become more concerned with aesthetic values, with subjective values, whereas machines will be then in charge of the more objective, the rules, the number crunching, the, you know, the processing that is more repetitive. And I think it's this interaction that is going to become very interesting, because I believe that machines are going to help humans to be even more creative, even more adventures. Because if you don't need to worry about technicalities, about, you know, the technical aspects of music, then you are free to become more exploratory, more subjective, more intuitive.
So can you really imagine good, complex compositions only developed by machines without the human factor, without a composer?
I think it will be possible. Actually, it is possible even today to have that. But I think it all depends on who is appreciating the music. I sometimes make, you know, an experiment with my audience. I always do this. Sometimes I play pieces that were almost entirely produced by a computer, but played by a human being, and I don't tell anything about, you know, I don't say that the music was composed by a machine. People like it. Now, if I say that the piece was made by a machine, then people tend to have doubts, to say, well, maybe this is not so nice. So I think it's a matter of perception. If people accept that a piece of music can, you know, it does not matter what or who composed it, just appreciate it by its, you know, quality, then yes, I would say that machines will become more and more active in musical composition. But if you ask my point of view, I will always say that a human composer is always going to do something to make it, you know, to change it, or the aesthetic values may not be the same as the ones that were used by the machine, so to speak, to compose. I think the role of the machine here is not so much in composing new compositions, but I think it's to push the barriers of composition, to push the human barriers. So for produce things that will make humans, you know, to think a little bit different or to re-evaluate what the concept of music is and so on. I believe that, you know, the great majority of people who listen to music, who appreciate music, will always prefer to have music that has some sort of human hand on its making. Otherwise, music may lose the capacity to communicate what humans communicate through music. I think that's my point of view anyway. Mm-hmm. But to answer your question, I think yes, machines will be able to compose complex music that, you know, may be very good quality. But what will tell us if this is music or not, then I think it is the appreciator, it is the audience,
sure,
who will decide that.
So one of your newest works, I think, is a project called Mozart Reloaded.
Right, yes.
How much Mozart and how much Miranda are in this composition, and how much artificial intelligence?
Okay, that is a very good question. It is a very good example of the kinds of things that I am interested at the moment. Mozart Reloaded, what I did, I took lots of, I think, 10 or 11 Mozart sonatas. I cut them into little pieces, right? It's like taking a glass and smashing it on the wall. You had all these little pieces. So I put them in a box, shake the box, and then I took these little pieces one by one and reassembled them into a new sequence.
Mm-hmm.
So this is mostly what you can hear in the electronic part. You see this kind of triturated Mozart sounds that were reassembled in several different ways. And then the artificial intelligence aspect was used to compose the piano part, the part that is played on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
So I took the sessions from disassembled, these bits of Mozart, and I applied an algorithm that looked at the work of other composers to see if there were bits that were similar. So, for example, let's say I got a bar from Mozart K455, and then I looked into a database of pieces by Beethoven, Bach, Gluck as well. And then the computer found bits that were similar to that original Mozart. And then I used these bits from other composers to compose the piano part for the Mozart. So it is a Mozart-informed score, but the actual materials that I used are materials that came from pieces that have a little resemblance to Mozart's original music. And what is Miranda in there? Miranda in there is to take these pieces and assemble them together in a sequence, which, you know, sounds, in my opinion, musical.
Okay, so thank you very much. We talked to Eduardo Miranda in Plymouth, South England. Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Thank you very much indeed. Okay,
bye-bye. Yeah, bye-bye.